this couldn't be more different from what you just heard. My novel's set in the Caribbean in Trinidad. There's a really weird noise coming through at me. Sounds like a great, did you
I
hear this? It's like an aeroplane in my head. Do you have that problem?
Yeah, no? I don't think it's the microphone, it's the air conditioner.
Okay, just weird, you can hear it up here. So this is Trinidad, where I was born and where I come from. And I'm going to read a bit from the second part of the book, which is actually the first part of the story. I cleverly and cunningly designed the book back to front. And, stopped. It's exciting. So I'm going to read a couple of bits. This is 1956, and my character Sabine has just arrived in Trinidad. She arrived by boat with two suitcases and a green bicycle. She's been riding around Port of Spain on her bike, and she has been reading the newspapers. She hasn't really got a good grasp on where she's come to and what's going on. And she's riding around the Savannah, which is like Central Park. It's a big park in the center of town. And she gets to the top of Frederick Street, which is the main street, and she's on her bike, and she finds herself confronted with a large group of people coming up towards her, and finds herself unable to, well, she's not gonna go back. That afternoon, Frederick Street was silent. Momentarily, I was unsure. Had I come down the right street? I wobbled, looking for landmarks, a shop I knew, and then the jail loomed up on the right. Yes, this was the right street. I saw crowds up ahead, lots of black people milling about. Something was going on. But this wasn't Market Day or Market Street, and I didn't think to turn back. Curiosity pushed me onwards. And then I was afraid. There were throngs. Thousands? Yes, thousands of people up ahead. In moments, I'd wheeled into the thick of a mammoth crowd. All black people, all gazing into Woodford Square, the big green park in the middle of town of Frederick Street. The park was usually a genteel setting. Benches and a bandstand and a fountain. Neat and well ordered, just like the kind you might see in parts of London. That afternoon, it was jam-packed. People perched in trees, clung to the spiked railings, others dangled from street lamps, from rooftops, and some of the onlookers waved balise, or heliconia, big, brash, crab-claw-like flowers, monsters in the already monstrous gardens of Trinidad. These plants collected water. Snakes hid in them. A strong odour of musk, of bodies steaming. The crowd spilled onto the road and I couldn't get through, round or past. I trailed my toes on the ground so I could walk the bike. Father, father, a woman shouted. Others looked towards the bandstand. There was an atmosphere of rapture. I was suddenly afraid to catch an eye and to look directly into any one face. I didn't want to draw attention to myself. Was this a military operation? Some general speaking, or maybe a British dignitary in town? The crowd erupted, clapping, answering a voice amplified through a microphone. I was stuck, conscious of my shorts and my t-shirt, my blonde hair, my white skin. Faces in the crowd glistened in the heat. Everyone was turned towards the square, like during Sunday Mass, when the priest is blessing the host. What's going on? I dared to ask an old woman. Dr. Williams is speaking. Dr. Williams? I'd forgotten what Venus had said about him. I'd forgotten everything in the heat. Who's he? Our leader, Eric Williams. I stared. Every person in the square was magnetized, all ears pricked, listening. I was heat dizzy. I wanted to sit down and go home, but there were just too many people. I spotted some railings which weren't clogged, wheeling my bike towards the gap. I peered through. Hundreds of people, the townspeople, were crushed around the elevated bandstand in the centre of the park. The bandstand doubled as a hustings, decorated with those menacing balises. A row of people sat on it behind a table, and they were also listening to the person speaking, hands folded on their laps. And then I saw him. A small, besuited black man with thick spectacles. He was standing on the bandstand in the middle, fronting the group. Surely he wasn't the man they were listening to. His hands were thrust deep into his pockets, ever so casual. Two microphones stood in front of him, pointing downwards to his mouth. Yes, this was the man they were listening to. This was Eric Williams. "We have the honour," Eric Williams proclaimed. My shoulders shivered. "To put such a party at your service, we stand or fall by our programme, a comprehensive social security programme for the general welfare of the people of Trinidad and Tobago." A roar from the crowd. Hands reached up to him. "Father," they chanted, and some people held up balises like crosses, waving them. Eric Williams gazed out onto the crowd, nodding. A discerning smile spread across his face. "Nor are we an ordinary party in the accepted and narrow sense of the word," he continued. "We are rather a rally, a convention of all and for all." "Yes," murmured the crowd. "A mobilization," Eric Williams proclaimed, "of all the forces in the community, cutting across race and religion, class and colour, and hence our name, the People's National Movement." Clapping burst out like thunder. The ground shook. Others were stunned as I was. Nothing like this had ever happened in downtown Port of Spain. "Hence our programme, the People's Charter." "Yes," the crowd gasped. "We repudiate imperialism, colonialism, and racialism in every shape or form. We want self-government now for Trinidad and Tobago in internal affairs through a reform-based constitution." Another roar from the crowd. My skin was electric. I was nervous and sick to the stomach. It was like the nervousness of being aroused, of that kind of love. Charisma. The trick of it and the lure of it. Somehow, also, I was miserable, scared and miserable and elated all at once. This man spoke words like poetry, tender and precise. The crowd was moved by the force of his conviction. Was he a doctor, some kind of businessman, a lawyer? He appeared smart. White shirt, red tie, black suit, 40 or so. He stood with one foot, heel to toe, to the next, and he looked relaxed. Relaxed. Eric Williams was a political animal in his natural habitat up there in front of thousands, explaining his vision for the future. This Eric Williams beamed down at his people, speaking slowly and deliberately, all the time in the world on his side. "People, we are here together. Let us unite and let us take our time and take back the future. Shall we?" His voice was jovial and rich, educated. He made jokes here and there at the expense of the opposition and the colonial government. The crowd laughed, moving minutely together. And Williams gossiped too, as if letting the crowd into secrets high up in the order of things, as if sharing classified information. I couldn't leave. I couldn't tear my eyes from him. I was stuck, immobile, wanting more, just like the crowd. "Father," people wailed. The air was charged. Here he was, the man come down from the university, sharing his wisdom. Eric Williams laid out his plans. A British Caribbean Federation, eradication of colonial political corruption, elimination of racial discrimination, promotion of education. And the crowd nodded, awestruck. They'd never been given a man like this, not for them. They'd never heard these kind of words before, not for them. Eric Williams spoke with clarity and confidence. His party sitting behind him were mixed in race, and one was even a woman, bookish-looking, in her horn-rimmed spectacles, her skin light brown. What was going on in Trinidad? George and my friends at the country club, they'd never mentioned this Dr. Williams. People around me started to notice my presence. "Go away, white girl," a man rasped. "Masa here," another shouted. I edged the bike through a thinner part of the crowd towards the next street, mounting quickly, and I pedaled fast down to the dock. Everywhere the streets were deserted. The whole of town was in Woodford Square, listening to this messiah and his ideas for the future of Trinidad. Eric Williams' words rang in my ears, "Repudiate imperialism and colonialism." And I felt like I was new, like I had been shaken. Okay, I'm gonna read just another tiny bit. Trinidad is the southernmost Caribbean island, and it's also was part of the mainland, part of South America. So I don't know if anybody can even imagine where the chain of islands I'm talking about. You have Jamaica here, Trinidad here. And most of the islands are volcanic, apart from, well, I can probably talk about this. apart from Trinidad, which is broken off from the mainland, and you can actually see where the break is. So our flora and fauna is that of South America. And it's very mountainous Trinidad, which is why Columbus called it Trinidad, after a trinity of mountains. And it's basically the tip end of the Andes chain. So we have real lush tropical rainforests, mountains, swamps, you name it, we've got it all. And Port of Spain is ringed by mountains, and they're everywhere. You can't really go anywhere in Trinidad without seeing mountains. And where we live in Trinidad is at the foot of a mountain, and the mountain looks like a hip. And it always struck me that there was a woman. It looks like a big woman on her side, very curvaceous, voluptuous, sort of colossal giant trapped in the earth. And this big colossal green woman isn't static. She shakes and she hums and thrums, and people live in her, rastas live in her, squatters live in her. All manner of bird, insect, and animal live in these mountains. And so they're not, the landscape in the Caribbean is just not static. It's not like wallpaper, it's moving all the time. So when I was writing this book, my character starts talking to the mountain. And the mountain talks back, as they do. So I thought I'd read a little bit about the first time Sabine starts to talk to the mountain. We moved house. Forbes Mason was still building a place for us, and when I kicked up a fuss, we were allowed to find another. Our new home was twice the size of the flat, tucked down a narrow street opposite the country club. I danced around its empty shell. 3 bedrooms, a dining and living room, a patio, a small garden. Furniture too. 2 new beds, tables, chairs, a proper fridge, a stove, a backyard, high walls and a driveway, and suddenly there was space to breathe and be alone. Venus came with us, and I could hop and skip to the country club. And then the rains arrived. Not a drizzling affair, not a piddling, piffling, pitter-pattering, not a drip, 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 not the extended misery of an English winter where the skies are always shrouded and sullen. The rain came in a moment from nowhere, a roar. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end like needles. Goosebumps rashed my arms. It was a flood hurled from the sky. I shivered and felt guilty about something I'd done, searching my conscience. I sat in the living room and reached for a cigarette, puffing anxiously as I stared through the louvers at the sheets of belting water. What had I done wrong? What? Pools collected in our new lawn. I watched the green mountain all around, voluptuous, the undulating hills of a woman. I saw her everywhere, this green woman. Her hip, her breasts, her enticing curves, shoulders, belly. She encircled us. She laughed at us when it rained, shaking her hair. Birds stopped their chatter. The roar was deafening. The rain, when it came like this, was a lashing and a bombing. And afterwards, the deep drains behind the house bubbled with brown water. Winderflet River flooded. It became bruised and swollen. The roadside gutters ran riot, engorged, bobbing with stolen goods, shoes, dead snakes, broken up furniture. Potholes like tiny lakes appeared in the road. Crapo frogs lumbered out from under stones, burping and licking up the insects hurled from the trees. Mosquitoes, newly hatched, marauded in gangs, clouds of them. It was then I had my first conversation with the hills. "Feel better now," I spoke in a whisper. "Yes. Feel relaxed?" "Yes." "Well, I don't. I feel on edge." "Relax," she soothed. "You're beautiful. You know that. So are you." "I hate you." "My husband loves you." "They all love me." "How long will this rain last?" "As long as it lasts." "Will there be a hurricane?" "No, not this far south." That's it.
Hello, Monique. That's great. I'm very glad.